Chapter 24 this morning, and we are, it's kind of a little on the unusual side for me, we're not going a lot of different places in the Word of God this morning. We're going to stay mostly in Luke. We've got a little bit that we'll look at in John, and then at the end we'll look at Romans. But Luke chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. The Bible says, "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass." Whoa, the events, and we're going to be preaching this morning just on the events of the resurrection. The events of the resurrection as pertaining really to the disciples from their point of view and what took place as they processed this whole situation. Let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing. Father, I do pray that you would help me to be able to preach at this time. God, I need your help to preach your word, to preach it clearly and distinctly. Father, I pray that the message may reach to every Christian in this room. I pray, Father, that it may reach to the lost, to those that are not saved. Father, I pray that through this message we would be exhorted, that we would be changed. Father, I pray that we would be stirred up to do something for you. God, I pray that as we remember this day and remember Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, God, help us to realize you are alive and we serve a living Savior. And as we sang in the song, he's in our heart today. And Lord, we just think of the other song, he's alive, he's alive. God, I pray that we would understand that and understand that we have the ability through Christ to live for eternity. Help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, I want to now continue reading a little bit further in this passage. And then I've got a few points that I want to bring out specifically to three different groups of disciples here. And it seems like they all went through the same process in their minds. But let's read verse 13, and we're going to follow through verse 35. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Can you sense in their voice that despondency? Their Savior is, "But we trusted that it should be he." Well, you can keep trusting, because he got up. He came out of the grave. "And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, yea. And certain women also of our company made us astonished. which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to have believed all the prophets have spoken. He's like, why are you slow to believe what was written in the scripture? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So I want to first of all look this morning. First point that we'll see is their slowness to believe. Their slowness to believe. And what is amazing to me is this was a thing, it was through all of them. Each and every one were slow to believe. Now, let's look first of all at verse 4. Verse 4, and it came to pass, they were much perplexed. Here the ladies had come. Now, we know all of the events, right? And when we look back at it, we get to look at it in 2020. Hindsight, 2020, all of the events are recorded. We know that he rose, we know that he was there, and we can look at it and say, well, why didn't these ladies understand that he was going to rise from the dead? They should have been, in my opinion, looking at the scriptures and looking at all the things that Jesus said to them. Should not the disciples, on day number one, been standing there at the sepulcher waiting? That, to me, is what should have happened. But all fear takes over. They were hiding. They were afraid of the Jews. They weren't out there at the sepulcher waiting for the resurrection. They could have been there. After the third day, they knew. They had been told clearly. But these ladies, they came there and they saw the empty tomb and they were much perplexed. You know, it's amazing to me, their first thought was not, he rose again. Their first thought is probably, what happened to him? Where did somebody moved him? Something took place here. They were perplexed. They were slow to believe. Look at verse 11. Here the ladies then, after they had found out the truth, they come and they tell the disciples, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now look at this. So here the ladies are. Now they are over their perplexity, and they have come. The angels have told them, look, I received a message from the angels. Jesus rose again. And they come and they tell the disciples, and the disciples say, you're telling us fairy tales. You're telling us fairy tales. And they, the Bible says, they believed them not. We have eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They saw angels. The scriptures were there. They should have been waiting for it, and they also believed not the ladies when they told them what had taken place. So there's the disciples, and then we come to verse 25. Verse 25, it says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So the slowness to believe ultimately comes from a slowness to believe the scriptures. The prophets, Jesus says, look, you guys know the scriptures. How many of you have, you would consider yourself very familiar with the Bible? Very familiar with the Bible. You've read it maybe all the way through, or you've read at least large portions of it. Many of you, you're familiar with the Word of God. I wonder, in my Sunday school lesson, we looked at listening for the trumpet. We looked at the Feast of Trumpets and how Jesus is coming again with the trumpet. I wonder, I mean, we won't have time to think about it. But when Jesus comes and that trumpet blows and we're caught up to be with him in the air, I wonder if we had 5 minutes to wait, how many of us would look at it and say, I wonder what that noise is. See, are we listening for the trumpet? Are we ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we any more ready for the return of Christ than these disciples were for him to be raised from the dead? Are we slow in our lives to believe the scriptures? You know, even in Peter's day, they said this, well, why is the Lord slack concerning his coming? Why is he slack concerning his promise? All things continue as they were from the beginning of the earth until now. Maybe he's really not coming. Why is it that even at that day, now here we are 2,000 years later, how many of you believe that Jesus is coming again? You believe it? Okay, so we say we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. What do we base that upon? We base it upon the fact that it's written in the Word of God. It's a clear promise from God. It's the Scriptures. Jesus says to them in verse 25, Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, O fools. You know what the Bible describes a fool as? A fool is a person that has said in their heart, there is no God. These were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were living like there was no God. They were living as if the Word of God did not exist. They were living as if the promises of God did not exist. They were living as if Jesus Christ would not get up out of that grave. And Jesus refers to them as fools. He says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. It's not that they were mentally slow. It's not that they could not understand. They were slow of heart to believe. Not slow of mind. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Should we believe every word of the Word of God? We should believe every word of the Word of God. God preserved it for us in the King James Bible perfectly. We have it. We're able to open it up. We're able to read it. We're able to look at it. But how many times, whether it be on standards, whether it be what the Bible has to say about music, whether it be what the Bible has to say about just coming to church, whether it be what the Bible has to say about Christian living, whether it be what the Bible has to say about witnessing, whether it be what the Bible has to say about the future events of prophecy, are we slow to believe? It's written in the Scriptures, but do you know how many people, how many Christian people you can show plainly from the Scriptures, here's what the Bible says, and they say, well, I just don't believe that. That's what the disciples did. They said, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. What words were they giving them? They were giving them the Word of God, the Word of the angels, the words that were written to them. So when the Word of God is preached, and we fail to respond to the Word of God being preached, what are we? We're slow of heart. Oh, that's just idle tales. Is it the Word of God or is it not? Do we believe that it's the Word of God? Can you read it and open it for yourself? Is it written in black and white? Is it understandable? Yes. 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 It is understandable. Yes, it is real and relevant for us today. Yes, Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. So slowness to believe. Secondly, I want to look at being utterly convinced. Being absolutely convinced. Verse 4 through 7, let's look at this. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, now look at this. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The angels said what? They said, remember the Word of God. remember the Word of God. What is this? John chapter 2. Hold your place right here. We're coming right back. But John chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Here's one place where Jesus said it. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up after 3 days? Verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples what? Remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now it took them a while to remember, didn't it? And that's what we're looking at. But here, all of a sudden, they remembered the Word of God, and it was the Word of God being brought to their memory that utterly convinced them of the truth. Do you know what? What you believe has to have a foundation. It has to have a foundation, and it needs to be founded on the Word of God. There are things that, you know, I was told from little childhood on up that I just believed because that's what I was told. But at some point in time, I had to come to the conclusion, why do I believe what I believe? And I had to find it in the Word of God, right? The Word of God. That's why when we preach the Word of God around here, we try to take the Word of God and open it up and show you exactly what it says, because I don't want someone growing up or even being an older person in this church and thinking, I know that the preacher has said this, but where is it in the Bible? We need to see it in the Bible when we preach, right? We need to look at what the Bible says about these different things. It's highly important that we understand that it comes from the Word of God. It was the Bible that ultimately convinced them of the truth. Let's look on a little bit further. Verse 12. Now here, Peter, he didn't believe, and then they told him and reminded him. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed. Now look at this. Wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now Peter, he's still teetering on the edge. Peter's the guy that was either all in or all out. He's the guy that he had to be super convinced if he was going to be convinced. We refer often to Thomas as being the one that doubted. Peter was just as much a doubter as Thomas was. Thomas just was doubting later. See, after Jesus had already appeared to the rest of the disciples and Thomas wasn't there yet, Thomas is saying, I don't believe you. Well, that was Peter just a few hours earlier, right? So why don't we call him Doubting Peter? No, poor Thomas got stuck with it. He's the one that got stuck with the rest of the time. But Peter, he's sitting there. He has now seen the empty tomb and is still not convinced. Still not convinced. Still waiting. Verse 26 through 32. After Jesus said to these disciples that they were slow of heart to believe, verse 26 says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus Christ is talking with them, and he's taking them through the Word of God. Now, I don't know how long of a conversation this was, but Jesus began back at Moses. Genesis. Remember Genesis 3, verse 15, I think it is, where he says, the seed of a woman is going to be the one that comes to give victory. Oh, that's Jesus. You remember Moses and the Passover lamb that was offered on that day? What was that a picture of? Oh, that's Jesus. And as they went through, you remember Isaiah in chapter 53, by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's Jesus. And Jesus went and he went to Genesis and he went to Exodus and he went through the Word of God and said, wait a minute, the Messiah. Now he is standing there right in front of them. He is the very Son of God and God in the flesh himself, risen from the dead. They're still not seeing it, but he is explaining to them, isn't the Christ? Can you imagine Jesus referring to himself in the third person throughout this entire conversation? while he's right there. And he's saying to them, shouldn't Jesus have suffered these things? See, all these disciples, they were looking for him to come and set up his kingdom. But he wasn't ready for that yet, because there's a church age to come still before the kingdom. But he expounded to them the scriptures. It was the word of God. Verse 28 says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made us as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went on to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Now this is something that he had done earlier. And it says their eyes were opened and they knew him. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know him as your Savior? Are you convinced by the scriptures that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Was there a time in your life when you were convinced by the scriptures that you were a sinner on your way to hell? Can you remember the time when you realized in your mind, I'm on my way to hell? Do you remember that day? How many of you remember that day? Think about it. Do you remember that day? I remember it. My brother had gotten saved, and he told me something to the effect, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. I don't remember all the details of that day, but I remember running to my dad. He was in the backyard in the hammock, and I said, I don't want to go to hell. You know what? Do you remember when you realized you were on your way to hell? Do you know that every one of us at some point in our life, we were on our way to hell? And we became convinced by the scriptures of that fact. I'm a sinner on my way to hell. And at that time, when you become convinced of that fact, all of a sudden, you're looking for answers, aren't you? You know what's wrong with the world right now is people aren't convinced. They aren't convinced because they're slow to believe the scriptures. I'm running into more and more people that just don't believe the Bible. Yesterday I ran into, I believe, two people that just, they don't believe the Bible. Well, what do you do if you don't believe the Bible? How can you tell a person how to be saved if they don't believe the scriptures? You have to be convinced by the scriptures. But then you came to that conclusion and someone took the Bible, or you read a gospel tract, or you read something that showed you Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose again, and he did that to pay for your sins so you wouldn't have to go to hell, and you trusted Christ as your Savior. How many remember that day? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a day when the scriptures convinced you that Jesus Christ had died for you so that you could be saved? And that day you called out and said, Jesus, it doesn't matter exactly what you said, but you called out, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Jesus, please save me. I believe that you died for me. And that day Jesus saved you. Have you had that day? If you have not had that day, you need to be saved. You need to become convinced of the scriptures that you are on your way to hell, and become convinced of the scriptures that Jesus Christ died for you. It's what the Bible says. So he opened their eyes and they knew him. Verse 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know what? When Jesus was taking the Word of God and he was opening the scriptures, they were listening. They were intent. They were looking at something like they'd seen something brand new. All of a sudden, they saw Jesus in Genesis. They saw Jesus. They saw, oh, he is supposed to suffer. Oh, that verse where it talks about his beard being plucked out. Oh, that verse that talks about him being smitten. Oh, that verse that talks about they looked on him whom he had pierced with the spear getting shoved into his side. Oh, it's all there. It's all in the scriptures. And they said while they were listening to the Word of God, their heart was burning within them. Now, let me ask something. Was their heart burning within them because Jesus Christ was up doing comedy hour on the platform? was their heart burning within them because Jesus was telling them all kinds of emotional stories? It's the Word of God. You know, if you don't come to church for the Word of God, if people, when you go to church, they don't give the Word of God, there's nothing else that matters. The Word of God is what burned in their hearts. As He explained to them the Word of God, I hope that you have a desire for the Word of God. And when the Word of God is preached, it doesn't matter who's preaching. I try my best to keep it exciting. I try my best to keep it energized. But it's the Bible. If I were just to stand here and read the Word of God, it still ought to burn in your hearts. I just do my best to try to keep you awake. But it burns in the heart as you become convinced of the truth of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit shows you that's true. I need to do what the Word of God says. It ought to change your life. So here they go. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 together with them that were with them. Now look, Jesus expounded the Scriptures. Everything we believe has to be based upon the Word of God, being utterly convinced. Thirdly, so first, they were slow to believe. Second, they were utterly convinced. And in each case where they were convinced not by their sight, but by the Scriptures. By the Scriptures. Thirdly, their eagerness to tell. Their eagerness to tell. When they became convinced, verse 9, and returned for the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. Did these ladies wait around? Did they worry about, they won't believe us? See, guess what? I don't know how many doors we knocked on yesterday. I got to go with my wife yesterday knocking on doors. I don't know how many doors we knocked on. But guess what? Most of the people that we knocked on were not interested. But Roger was. See, the thing is, when these ladies, they came back and told fellow believers, Jesus rose from the dead. And they said, you're telling us fairy tales. See, why do we, you know, when we go out and talk to people, if you think that everybody is going to believe, even Christians don't believe the Word of God sometimes. Okay? I mean, I preach it all the time. And you wonder how many people actually believe what's written in there. Because of the way people live sometimes. You think, do they believe the Bible or not? But these ladies, they didn't care whether the disciples would believe them or whether they didn't believe them. They wanted to go tell. They wanted to go tell about it. Now, same thing. We got Cleopas and Simon. And what did they do? They rose up, they went all the way back to Jerusalem. Someone said it was 11 miles, I don't know exactly. But they went all the way back to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together. Where are they? Where are they? Well, I mean, they went, they found where they were gathered. Now remember, they were hiding for fear of the Jews, but they found out where they were at. They went up into that room, and here's what they said. They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered with them, that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So I'm thinking Cleopas here is talking, and Simon is the name of the other disciple, and Cleopas is saying, hey, the Lord's risen and He's appeared unto Simon, that they're telling these 11 disciples, it's true, He rose from the dead. They wanted to tell somebody. See, people who were slow to believe, but now have been utterly convinced by the Scriptures, ought to be eager to tell what they've learned from the Scriptures. Are you saved? How many people have you told? How many people have you told this year that you're saved? How many people have you taken the opportunity to talk to witness to try to convince others? These people, they went 11 miles on foot after they had gone 11 miles. Earlier in the day, they ran back and said, Jesus is risen! And we've seen Him! This is the king. Why? Because they were convinced of the truth. Do you know people that are on their way to hell? Think about it. Do you know people that are on their way to hell? Do you have something exciting to tell them? Do you? I do. Jesus died for their sins. He died to save them. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. He died for you. You don't have to go to hell. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Is it? It's pretty exciting. Hey, and we get to carry that message. If they don't want it, the message is still exciting. If they refuse to believe it, it's still the truth. That message needs carried. To who? Everybody that's on their way to hell. There's a different message for Christians that are away from God. They need to, you know, ask forgiveness and quit their backsliding and get back to God. That's a good message too, because even the Christian that has gone away, guess what? I mean, there's Christians that have gone away and they sometimes get stooped in the deepest sin. It's like the dog returning to his vomit, the Bible says, and the swine returning to their wallow. And Christians can get away. You know what the great message for them is? The Father's waiting to forgive them if they'll just come back. He's waiting. He wants to have fellowship with them once again. If you're a Christian and you're away from God, you can ask forgiveness. You can get rid of that sin. He'll give you victory and you can live for God. So I've gone too deep. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You can live for God. But for the unsaved, you don't have to go to hell. And we need to be eager to tell people about that. You know, in an average church, you take almost any church, you know how many people actually go out witnessing? How many, you know, I had Moses not here today, but I asked him, I said, how many people in a church this size? I said, how many do you think go out witnessing? Well, his expectation as a new Christian who'd seen a group of us out one day, he said, probably a lot. Now, I asked someone else that same question. They said, you and your wife? Which one is closer to the truth? The question is, shouldn't everybody be eager to tell? Are you saved? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Did he wash away your sins? Do you have an eternal home in heaven? Do you know someone that's lost and needs to go there? Well, it's a message. It's a message we need to be sharing. I hope that you will become utterly convinced of the message and you will have an eagerness to tell. And then we see the assurance of the Savior, verse 36 through 48. Verse 36 through 48. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So Jesus shows up himself, says, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They had already been told he rose from the dead. But these 11, I am telling you, Thomas got a bad rap. These 11 are sitting there. They've been told by the ladies. They've been told by Simon and Cleopas. They've been told Jesus rose from again. They had the scriptures. They've been reminded of that. Jesus shows up and they're scared to death. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? That's a good question, isn't it? Should they have been? No. And then he says this, and why do these thoughts arise? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. You notice he didn't say blood. New bodies have flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet, and while they yet believed not for joy. It's too good to be true, folks. Some people say that about heaven. Some people say that about the Savior. Some people say that Jesus died for my sins. That's too good to be true. You've heard it. They believed not for joy. Here he is standing, showing his hands and his feet. Now they're starting to believe, but they don't want to get their hopes up for this joy. And wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? He says, look, I've got to convince you guys. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And guess what? When he ate it, it didn't fall on the floor. He was in a physical body. He's not a spirit. He's in a physical body, but yet that body appeared. It disappeared. It appeared. It went through the door without opening the door. I can't wait to get my new body. What fun, huh? And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. What is he doing right now? He's taking them to the Word of God, right? These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Do you know what's ultimately going to convince people? He said, look, here's my hands. Here's my feet. They've got the holes in them. Here's the hole in my side. He says, look, I'll eat. But he says, ultimately, what you have to trust is the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's more important than the eyewitness accounts. That's more important than any part of it. Why did he put such focus there? Because guess what? How many of you have seen the pierced hands and pierced feet of Jesus Christ? Hopefully no one is raising their hand, right? You haven't! We have the Scriptures. Say, well, I would believe better if I could see. No, they saw and didn't believe. It was the Scriptures that convinced them. It's the Word of God that must convince us of absolutely everything. It comes from the Word of God. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. He says, look, I'm here. I really have raised. Now go tell somebody. Go give the gospel to somebody. At school, give the gospel. At work, give the gospel. And we live in a day and age, we've got to be careful we don't get fired. But within reason, give the gospel. Do what you can to give the gospel. He says, you're witnesses. Go tell people. Jesus Christ rose. He arose. He's alive. And then turn to Romans 6. And we're going to finish with this passage of Scripture. We have a baptism today. Says what? Romans 6 and verse 1, talking about baptism, but the baptism is tied to the resurrection. It's tied to the resurrection. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Why is baptism important? Baptism shows the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that when we baptize, the person goes all the way under the water. Otherwise, you don't have a picture of the burial. You don't have a picture of the resurrection. You lose the whole picture if you don't do baptism right. So what we're doing with baptism, when a person gets baptized, what are we showing? We're showing this person died with the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. They're buried, and now they're going to live for Jesus Christ. They're demonstrating that they got saved. They're demonstrating that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And in that demonstration, they're showing I'm not going to live that old carnal, wicked, sinful life anymore. I died to that. Buried, and now I'm going to walk in a new life. And it's showing Jesus Christ died. His body was buried, but he came back into that body and rose again. Was he the same? No, the body was a little different, wasn't it? There was no blood in it. The blood is what washes away our sins. Now, baptism. Baptism is just a symbol saying, I believe, I've gotten saved. But is a symbol this. When a person gets saved, what kind of life should they live? A new one, right? A new life. A new life. Brother Reed mentioned in between the songs, he says, these disciples that were scared to death and trembling, a few days later, were preaching and giving their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the resurrection changes people. It changes people. I serve a risen Savior. If I was a worshiper of Buddha, I'd be doomed. I'd have the same fate to look forward to as he did. Where is he? Dead. Still dead. Jesus Christ is alive. Where's Muhammad? Dead. Still dead. Jesus Christ is alive. I want to follow the one that rose from the dead. Don't you? And I want to live for him. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Reed, if you could just come and conduct the invitation at this time. Those that are